You may find this hard to believe, but 60 songs that explain the 90s, America's favorite poorly named music podcast, is back with 30 more songs and 120 songs total. I'm your host, Rob Harvilla, here to bring you more shrewd musical analysis, poignant nostalgic reveries, crude personal anecdotes, and rad special guests, all with even less restraint than usual. Join us once more on 60 Songs That Explain the 90s every Wednesday on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client.
Stop the music. Stop it hard. Breaking news.
I don't have the sound. Go.
The mouse is dead. I forgot to tell you.
What? How?
I finished breaking on Saturday night. Finished about midnight. I'm walking out of my office to go to bed. Mm-hmm. Two things happened. Well, first of all, on Saturday, earlier in the day, had to give the boys their flea and tick medicine. They get starting with dog talk again.
Yep.
It's a 3-month pill. So one pill every 3 months. So it's pretty strong. Been Griffey, there. Little champ, eats it. Brady, being a total butt, won't eat it. We put it in his mouth, like you hold his mouth shut, you blow into his nostrils. It's supposed to make him swallow. Okay. No, not my dog. He would pass out from not breathing before he would swallow this freaking pill. So whatever. I tell Hannah.
Suppository?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I tell Hannah, I'm like, just leave it alone. He'll get it at some point. She won't, though. She's like, I gotta get to him today. Mm-hmm. But then she walks away. Griff goes and eats his.
Uh-oh.
So I'm like, and he takes a bigger dose because he's bigger than Griffey. So I'm like, crap. This, like, I honestly was like, we're going to have to pump his stomach. Like, I just don't know. I don't know. Like, is it toxic? If it's too much, ends up being fine, whatever.
He gets super strength, kills the mouse.
Super strength, hunts down the mouse. Flash forward that evening, I come walking out of my office and I hear, as soon as I come walking out, I hear little taps. Like, the pup's walking, coming to greet dad. And again, it's like midnight and I hear, rrr, rrr, pukes all over the floor. So I'm like, oh, this is Griffey puking up medicine.
Yeah.
No, Brady. That's besides the point. So I pick
wait, does that have anything to do with this mouse story?
It's the whole, so I literally pick up the vomit, go to walk over to the trash can. I look and I was like, oh, the mouse trap is like snapped. Or like, sure enough, dead mouse.
You didn't use a humane one to save the mouse's life?
It killed it quick. That is humane. It snapped its neck and it's covered. So you just pick the whole thing up. You don't even see it. Nice. I just saw the tail dangling.
Wow.
Dead as a doornail.
Two episodes in a row talking about mice in the house. Someone did say that this is retribution for your bad mouthing of the Disney series and Minnie Mouse and things like that in the past. Like the Disney products the Minnie and stuff like that.
I bad mouth the weirdos who are watching it from their basement.
Exactly.
Okay. Speaking of weirdos and whiners and complaints, I had an idea this morning.
You did.
Ended up being a hugely engaged post. One of our better ones recently, I feel like.
I think so.
What do you hate about the hobby? That's where I want to start. What do people hate about the hobby?
I think that post in general is also kind of like one of those where it's like, is the negative, because so many comments were negativity. But it's like, is the post a negative thing?
I do think
that in general, the responses were really good. We're going to have to, you got to tell me how you want to do this.
Dude, there was 185 comments in 2 hours.
And there was still comments on Instagram too. So we had so many different comments and there are some that are short, some that are long, but some of the long ones are like really pointed.
Okay. Let's go back and forth. I had a couple I want to hit. I'll hit okay. You hit.
Yeah, I punch you in the face. Like
one of these that stood out to me. Justin Thornton said comp police, so people comping. I don't care about that. And hobby gatekeepers. I do agree with that. Hobby gatekeepers are obnoxious. Anything new that comes in, we, the hobby, like, well, that's not how it's always been, and we can't allow this, and we're not going to stand for it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
People make it more difficult to get into this little club of ours. It's amazing, too, that us nerds playing with cardboard have the, like, the gall to also be, like, selective about who we let in.
Yes.
We're the losers at the lunch table. If anybody else wants to sit with us, we should be welcoming them and giving them our lunch.
But inside this world, inside the small pond, as it were, it is a very... Every fish thinks it's a big fish inside this small pond. But then outside of it, it is...
Not even big fish, though. This is more just like, this is the hobby I was raised on, so that's all it can be. Which tied in, by the way, the most commented thing was like... people being worried about how other people enjoy the hobby.
Yeah.
That is one of my biggest things. If you want to come in here and do nothing but buy cards to hold, to never sell, put them in a binder because you're a set collector, I don't care what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody should care what anybody does, actually. But it is true. People being overly concerned with other people, I'm out.
We have to view this segment, too, as not just like a, hey, this is our avenue to complain or to voice your complaints. I think it's also, we view this as an opportunity to get better. Like, these are the problems that many who love the hobby, who like to collect, this is what they say they don't like. Maybe these are things that we could all actively take into, take accountability for.
I am just using this to complain, for the record.
I know you are. I know.
Okay, what was anything? You shoot me
this
one.
This is, man, so not only was this in the post, every other Facebook post in the last few days has also said this, shaking.
Yeah, what is this?
Okay, so
I don't know what this is.
Okay, so I finally got it, and I do understand now. If you watch a break, and there's like these overdramatic people, it's the same guys who are like, they pull a card that's like $2, and they're like, let's go, just because there's like a bit of color on it, or it's a number or whatever.
Okay.
It's also, they've started doing this, I am shaking. I am literally shaking. I just pulled this Mufasa 1/1 from a 1990 Lion King blaster pack, and I am shaking. That's what it...
Seriously?
Yeah.
I pulled a... You know what I started doing now, just to be a jerk? I do what I call the bleacher. So when
the bleacher?
Or bleaker, whatever those idiots are named. So when I pull a big card, I don't even say what it is. I hold it up super quick and then just pull it off screen. We pulled a gold Drew Jones the other day, and I was like, I know it's a big card. I was like, nope. Didn't even say what
not
it was.
For you.
Literally 15, 20 seconds in the chat, and someone's like, by the way, was that Drew Jones? Auto? I was like, oh, this one? Yep. Didn't even put it on the card stand.
Dude, I was kind of afraid that's
that has
go.
Always been my thing. I try to be the least whelmed breaker of all time. I like whatever. That one. That's what shaking is, though.
Yes.
So. You don't even acknowledge it. Tom Brady 1/1 comes out, you just go, cool. Okay, next card.
Do you give a cool at least? Like a, yeah.
Not even that. But what I do is the very next card, no matter what it is, like here's a... whatever, Ken Griffey Jr. base card.
Yeah.
Like, dude, this is actually a pretty cool base card. You gotta admire the base card.
Cool base card. I do like your approach to almost every single time it's a card you want. It's just like, oh, not sending that card. I have, on more than one occasion, assumed that you were telling the truth, even though I know you.
Thank you.
Like, you actually are going to keep it. All right, go on. Next one.
The next one I mentioned, and this guy was saying this, I believe in the way that I view it. He is sick of people saying breakers have ruined the hobby.
Yeah.
Correct. The hobby, first of all, I will always argue this. What is ruined about the hobby? It is bigger now than it has just about ever been. And yes, we're in the middle of a dip here. It's still a massively large space, bigger than almost any other time in history. What I just never understand. Well, they're ruining the hobby. Me and my son, little Timmy, that stupid little kid, can't go out and get cards. Yes, you can. The cards you have are worth more. The boxes you are going to buy are going to cost more because the potential cards that come out will, again, be more expensive. I'm not saying it's ideal, but this thought that breaking has ruined the hobby somehow is dumb. I think that is one of the worst cop-outs of all time.
I would agree with that. I do also appreciate, there's a Jeremy Davis, he put in the disdain for newbies
questions. You saw my comment to him, correct?
Too many E's for my
Jeremy.
Liking.
Jeremy.
So sorry, Jeremy. You're getting doxxed right now.
No, I've talked to him about this. There's no doxing. He's the only person in the world. I asked about his parents' motivation there. He didn't have much to say.
The ease aside, he makes a solid point as far as there's a lot of negativity towards anybody asking a question that is deemed as a newbie question. Granted, I think there is some accountability as far as, hey, if the guy... ask, what is this comp? And you don't want to answer that question. that's fine. But at the same time, maybe just point, instead of like complain about it, just say, hey, go here.
This is twofold. And Paul Smith mentioned this. I was actually in my next comment. Some new people I do, and some people have just been around too, I find to be lazy. Man, what do we think about this card? Just say you're too stupid and lazy to look up the card yourself. Very easy to find a comp on almost anything. We've explained it multiple times. Mm-hmm. So it goes two ways. Don't be lazy. Do some work. Do your due diligence. And if the person legitimately is saying that and still struggling, instead of making a comment about it, say, hey, by the way, I use Card Ladder, Sales History, mm-hmm. or I use 130point.com. Pretty simple. Paul Smith said the exact same thing. Like ignorant, lazy, new people who make little to no effort to do anything. I like his second part, though. Also newer, as in post-COVID accounts, like Whiteback and Card Porn. Whiteback is collectibles guru mm-hmm. and Card Porn. That regurgitate the same stuff every day just for clicks and views.
The same. I don't know.
I don't know about the same stuff, but I do agree that there is a lot of like sensationalism with a lot of these accounts. That irritates me all the time, anyways.
Well, I think that I have a real problem with it because at the same time, it's like if there wasn't sensationalism, would you even follow the account? Like, no, would anyone care?
People would care about stuff in the hobby. People would not waste their time caring about stuff that's just being sensationalized. Would they follow the accounts? No. And I'd be okay with that.
But that's the thing.
Fine if those accounts disappear.
But those people don't care. I understand their motivation. Yeah.
Sure.
I do also appreciate, there was a comment from Brandon McAllister. He said, the people trashing everyone else's cards.
Like, always.
I absolutely hate that. I'll get into the comment section. I'll just start defending if there's somebody who posts a card that they really like and it has almost no value, or it's like someone posted, what's that card with the classic card? It's a basketball card with the twins in the background who like killed their parents something.
It's a Mark Jackson card.
Yes.
The Mendoza twin? Melendez brothers.
There it is.
Yep.
That card was posted recently. It's been up in the Facebook group how many times? We have almost 80,000 members. Of course it's going to come up, but people are like roasting this guy. It's like, oh, yeah, good. You just found out about that? Oh, really cool. Because the guy was just happy that he was like, oh, I just found out. This is cool.
Sure.
Why? Just let him have his day. Let him enjoy it.
Goes back to let people collect what they want to collect.
Exactly.
That's fair. There's a couple other things here that I actually thought were interesting if you're somebody who buys and sells. So like Tanner Neese, who I've known for years through Facebook at least. Card show pricing still stuck in 2021. That is definitely an issue. People just not getting over the fact that the market has come down. Pricing has changed.
Mm-hmm.
There were also a bunch of comments all about selling. Like, okay, make me an offer. Anytime your post starts with make me an offer, you do not want to sell your card. That screams
to me. Or they
want to
get, actually, I think it's they want to make the most amount of money possible and they don't want to say a number too low that they could have gotten more.
So. There is never a number. It's a $100 card. Plenty of comps up and down, $100. Make me an offer.
Yeah.
98, not even close. anybody who starts a post like that,
you're ripping me off.
On any forum is not serious about selling their card. That is the definition of a selling donkey. But a lot of stuff too, though, about like even like sellers and too, like, hey, I want this much, you cover fees. It's pretty standard. Mm-hmm. If you're selling the card, you pay the fee.
Yeah. I think that's what it was.
And honestly, the other thing, all these guys who made comments about, hey, I hate this aspect of buying or this aspect of selling, 99% of these could be solved by this. Just be fair and be direct. Yep. I want this amount of money based on these comps. Somebody gives you an offer, you can either decline it or make a counter offer.
Yeah.
Very simple, but it is funny the amount of people who had the same complaints about like how to buy, how to sell. It's not that hard. You're just not dealing with reasonable people most of the time.
Travis Melinda Gates put out the post saying, basically, this has been going on forever, but quality control. This isn't really so much the hobby participants, but more of the people creating the cards themselves. Just, I guess it is interesting how we still see so many miscuts, misprints, blanks, missing autos, things like that. It is interesting, but at the same time, when you start, because we're going to, later in the show, we're going to have Ryan from Gemrate come on the show.
Who is this, by the way?
So
I know the Gemrate account. It's like the black and green lettering all the time, right? Is that the Gemrate?
No, that's Gem Mint. Gemrate is the one who puts out the reports of grading. So basically all grading companies, PSA, SGC, BGS, and CSG, he'll put out like a monthly report on Instagram of who's grading what cards are the most graded, things like that. So kind of giving an idea of representation of what that data can mean is what we're going to talk about later with him. But part of that is also just sheer numbers of how many cards get graded. To think like the King Griffey upper deck card
just hit 100. You see,
just hit 100,000 grade. Like I think 100,000 grades overall
with PSA.
Mm-hmm. That's not including the other grading companies. So when I bring all that up to say this Travis Melinda Gates comment about miscuts, misprints, things like that, when you're talking about millions of cards for just like one player, because I mean, if he's got that many, then even today we're talking, there's even more for some players. That's going to happen. But how does it happen to the point where we are seeing so much of it? I just feel like we see a lot of it.
I agree. Richie Levert had one of my favorite comments. The doomsday tinfoil hat wearing joyless people commenting on every thread about the new junk wax era or the crashing market. I agree.
I'm curious, again, what you think about that though. The junk wax thing
is such an overplayed thing. And it's always by people who have zero allocation or distribution or know anything about the amount of product being printed. That's the thing. Okay. Very rarely do I hear breakers come out like this. And now, granted, it would be against their business to a degree to say that, but there are plenty of us breakers who are very outspoken about everything else.
Yeah.
I think it's a total myth. Are they printing a ton of cards? Yep. Are there a ton more people in the hobby now than any other time? See the answer I just said.
Yeah.
See above. Like, I don't know, to a degree, it's like, what are we talking about? And this is the same thing I have too. The same guys who have been crapping on Panini for the last 10 years hate everything about Panini. Well, now they hate Fanatics too. So it's just, and I said this on the last show, like you don't trust and you hate Panini. You feel the same way about Fanatics. You feel the same way about SGC and PSA and the whole grading thing in general. So it's like, so what are you doing in the hobby?
Yeah.
But that's how I know these guys, a lot of these people just say things for clicks or to get attention, because if you really felt that way, you wouldn't stick around.
Agreed.
That's how I know most people just say things to be sensational.
Rob Smith, breakers that treat people like cash machines.
Sure, absolutely. That one I'm good with.
I've seen this a lot. Like, it's just like, hey, by the way, we're doing this break, and they'll reach out to somebody that they know will want to buy into that. There's some breakers who are doing that because they know that person actually wants in. There's some breakers who are doing that because it's like, I know that guy spends money. I can get him to come spend money with me. And it's just, I don't know. I don't like the look necessarily. And I do think that overall, it's not just breakers. I think it's a lot of people in this hobby where we are severely dipping into the pockets of the people that actually enjoy it to the point where I wonder if this is hurting the hobby. Like, I wonder if it's too much.
I like this one the best. Anil Kumar. I'm not supposed to be saying this on this page, but I'm sharing this because I've been blessed with her guidance and technique. She has helped me achieve dreams through crypto trading.
Stop.
We get that comment in the group like 50 times by the bots. I love it. One thing I thought too, people not understanding market fluctuation, so simply complaining about their card pricing. Absolutely. Like, again, things change on season, off in season, off season, all those things change. The state of the market overall. I was happy to see, though, a bunch of the comments were, we're sick of people talking about junk wax 2.0. Like, it's a lazy take. Don Getter said the same thing. It's a lazy take. I do agree with that. I just think there's people at times just say things to say things, period. Like, with no actual evidence of anything going on. So
I do think that the majority of, from what I saw in, because I mean, like you said, there's almost 200 comments in here, but the majority are things like the junk wax having an issue, the shaking thing is probably the most. But then also just the posts about commenting on other people's love of the hobby, what they like about it, leave it alone. If you don't like it, fine. Just why make a negative comment about it?
Yeah. I don't want to go through all these, but yeah, I just thought it was interesting just to see. It's funny when you get a bunch of people to comment on the same subject, how many feel the exact same way about a lot of the same
things. Exactly.
Because even like the conspiracy theory thing, I get irritated about that too. There's so much content and effort made into like just grasping at straws on some of this crap.
Yeah.
And it's like, what's the point? Like, are you that desperate for a click, a view, what, like a like? I don't, like, you know what else is cool? Real life friends? I mean, I'm not going to.
It is a shame because I think that the hobby is so disjointed as far as you have hobby friends online, but I find it very rare to know many people that have hobby friends in real life. Other than you, you're the only hobby friend that I have in real life that I would talk to on a regular basis. I just think that the internet is the main place for these people to communicate. And unfortunately, the internet also brings out a number of trolls.
Yeah, a number of people simply said the internet is the issue.
The internet is the issue.
That was the beginning of the downfall.
Oh, that's funny.
It's fair.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
I don't want to spend the whole show on it. I just want to talk about it.
No, I think it was good. Anything you want to talk about game two? You want to take a victory lap or anything?
I said we come back 1-1. We're now 1-1.
We are now 1-1.
Also,
that was so close, though. Oh, man.
That Ted Lasso card that sold last night on eBay. Now, granted, it sold, I believe it sold raw. Can you look this up? See, well, just Ted Lasso?
I don't, yeah, give a little background to.
I'm gonna tell the whole background. Just, can you look up the card? I'm not
asking too much. It's your story. Why don't you look up the card?
So I saw reported today, like, hey, this card, like a lot of guys don't know about it, and this thing just sold online last night. Okay, so it was raw. And it was on the front of a pack. I found it here. Sold for seven, and it wasn't last night. It was the second, so whenever that was. It's from 2013 Tops. It was an unreleased set from the Ted Lasso show. They released in like the clear cello packs or whatever. One sold on the second for $750 on eBay. This is the exact same. And it's funny. Somebody must have just released these because there's actually a bunch of these different 2013 ones I'm starting to see. The pop is stupid low, but all of a sudden there are a couple popped up on social media, a couple popped up on eBay. Well, this is the one our buddy Jeremy. I brokered this deal, by the way, with Josh Luber. $8,000. And it was not a 10. I don't think it was graded by SGC, but it was not. I don't think it was a 10.
I don't think so either.
And I almost want to go back to my text and find this card, but we've texted 3,000 times.
So,
point being, win for JA.
Okay. That was a very obscure story that only affects two people, but that's
random.
Fine. Okay. Back to anything hobby related. I don't know if you happen to notice.
I don't want
to
go back to
the odds. Last week, after game one, odds of Nuggets winning were -850 to the Heat being +575. That is now, after the Heat winning this last game, it's now only -270 for the Nuggets, +220 for Heat.
I mean, you still went on the road. It's pretty big.
And now they go back home. Tyler Hero supposedly is going to be in this next game. I don't know.
I'm glad it's going to be a series.
Exactly. I want the Nuggets to win overall, but I was rooting for Heat to win just because I would like to see something actually entertaining happen. Oh, one other thing before our guest gets here. So Mike, you were listening to Simmons' podcast. Actually, I think we both saw first, there was a post on Polwax Instagram account of them being at one of these games, the Celtics game.
Yeah.
Game seven.
Game seven. Apparently they're Miami fans. I don't know. The one kid is named Mikey, I think. The little dude.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who the other guy is. They may be the nicest guys on the earth, by the way.
Sure.
I said to you off air, you watched that video they posted, two of the most punchable faces in the hobby.
Well, when they're maybe doing like, not the waza face, oh, like, I don't know if they were saying waza.
By the way, I was texting Simmons about this, and he was just like, these kids didn't know anything about the game.
To be fair, where were they? They were right behind them.
They were sitting like, right behind Simmons, I believe.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what those tickets cost. Yeah, he was just like, we'll play the audio. It was pretty funny because this was on his pod.
Bill Simmons podcast.
Except for, you know, one of the reasons I had a bad feeling about the game, we sat down, usually this section's all Celtic fans. Yeah. In the row behind us were these two obnoxious Heat fans who probably became Heat fans when LeBron joined the team in 2010. They didn't even know who Sam Hauser's name was. So I was like, oh, you guys are serious fans. Huh? Hauser's played in multiple games this game. But these guys, anytime that happens, I always think it's a bad sign.
It was yeah. Really annoying.
So I texted him. He just hated their guts. They had no idea it was in the game. I was like, it's great. Because I told him, I was like, these are card guys. These are actually two breakers. I got a kick out of it. But
yeah. I'm kind of surprised they actually knew who Simmons was, honestly. I don't know.
It's true, because I think they're both quite a bit younger than us.
Yeah. I think there's definitely a demographic where, or an age range where you see everyone knows Bill Simmons to almost like very few.
Although the backyard guy, Nick at Backyard, talked about Simmons too quite a bit to me on the phone. Like he's come up a number of times on our car. So maybe younger guys do too. I just always assume we're the youngest Simmons fans out there. Maybe we're not.
Being someone who's new to the not only hobby, but sports in general, like in the last few years, I just assumed everyone who followed the hobby knew who Bill Simmons was because they followed sports. So they knew Bill.
Well, not to mention,
this was not the case.
And there's been like some major, like even if you don't know him from the podcast, like the other, my sister and husband, my sister and brother-in-law are in town. So of course I go over my parents' house the other night and they're playing the old 30 for 30 about the 04 Red Sox. Well, Simmons narrates that on screen.
Oh,
like him and
okay,
that comedian
cool.
Lenny, the chubby dude from Boston. He's like 70. I don't know. You'd know him. If you saw him, you would know him.
Yeah, I know who you're
just
talking
like
about.
The most stereotypical Irish guy from Boston. It's either Lenny or my Uncle Larry. I don't know. One of the two.
Sure. Gotcha. All right. So that brings us to our guest. Ryan from Gemrate is joining us. We'll go ahead and bring him on right now.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner, to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
Ryan Stasinski from Gemrate joining us on the podcast. Ryan, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us a little bit about Gemrate. What's it all about?
Yeah, so Gemrate was created 2.5 years ago with the idea of just helping people better understand population reports. We, you know, it's hard to navigate. The world is pretty complicated. The websites, you know, were somewhat dated for some of the grading companies. They've since revamped a lot of them. But the idea was just to help people who are in the market better understand sort of populations and just what the supply of cars looks like. So we spent like a year and a half really understanding that industry, and as a part of it, started publishing some reports on just high level trends.
So how long, when did you really start gaining popularity? Because I noticed that it gets shared by almost everyone each month when you put out a new report.
Yeah, that's right. So about 2 years ago, we started publishing on a regular. At the time, we were the first one to sort of window people into what was happening at PSA. PSA had shut down. And so people were wondering, you know, what was happening with the backlog? How long was it going to take to get cleared? And so we were just providing some transparency into, okay, there's, you know, 14 million cards in this backlog. Are we looking at like years here or is this months? And so we started just highlighting trends as it related to what was PSA doing first. And it got picked up by CardPorn. That was kind of our jumping off point, was CardPorn sort of featured what we were doing. And we just started getting a lot of traction from there. And then we've evolved. We, you know, we were covering PSA initially, but we broadened it to make sure people understood what was happening at like SGC, BGS, CGC, CSG, you know, the main grading companies.
You don't take like any bias standpoint on any of this. No one's like paying you for this data.
No, one of our values here is that, you know, we only consume what the public can see. So everything has to come from the population report. We don't want anything fed to us. You know, we don't want to just be a mouthpiece for a grading company. And so, you know, we're very much trying to take what everybody else sees and just make sense of it. And so, you know, that was sort of one of our founding principles, was just to make sure that if you're updating a pop report, we're going to make sense of it for you.
So I thought what would be nice to have you on first off would just be like, can you give us just a rundown of May's pop numbers? Like, what is it telling us?
Yeah. So at a high level, you know, we've been seeing a couple record months. So March and April were sort of record highs in the hobby as it relates to grading across the board. PSA is the dominant force there, obviously. So they're like 80% of market share as it relates to like the grading companies and the ones we follow. And then in May, we saw that there was a bit of a dip for the first time, you know, a meaningful dip in that it was down 14% from April, still up slightly year over year, but it's the first time we've really seen a drop off that was, you know, double digits. And so know, it, it hasn't really sort of, I think, broke through in the sense of people are like, oh, you know, or should we be nervous about this? But from somebody who's sort of analyzing this data day in and day out, it's definitely like a noteworthy time in the sense that we haven't really seen a drop like this. And TCG has been fueling a lot of that. And TCG saw a bit of a slowdown.
Ryan, just to clarify, 14% less cards graded in May.
For PSA.
Or for PSA. No, overall.
Overall. Yeah. Okay.
That's why I was asking Ryan.
Overall.
Your name is Jesse, yeah. So shut up. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so overall, 14% less than in April. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And 2% compared to May of last year, it's up, but very slightly.
Okay.
Which I did find really interesting because I would have thought May of last year, we would be down compared to then. I thought that was still like, I thought if anything, we have been on a slow decline since, I don't know, mid last year.
Yeah, but decline in pricing, not decline in grading. Like everybody still grades everything. So okay. That's why 14% a month actually kind of.
But that's, again, that's where I think this is really good information because I assumed they were one and the same. I thought decline in pricing would also indicate maybe a decline in people grading their cards. So.
Yeah, no, grading activity has been ticking up for the most part. So that's why this is noteworthy. It's the first time we've kind of gone off that trajectory and really seen somewhat of a, you know, a downward decline.
So the biggest, it looks like, according to this, PSA was the biggest hit, which of course would be one of the reasons why you're down 14%. If it was like, say, BGS down, you know, 18% like yeah. PSA is in this yeah. month, then you wouldn't have seen such a huge hit. I know that TCG, as you mentioned, has been one of the biggest graded things that people are sending in. How big is that? Like, what percentage does that make up?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, in any given month, it's 40%, almost 50% in certain months.
Isn't that crazy?
Which is huge, which is crazy. And that's, you know, 90%. When we see TCG, we're basically talking Pokemon cards.
Exactly.
Know? I mean, it's to simplify it.
And does anybody play Pokemon anymore?
So that's I was going to talk about a little Pokemon later, though. But Pokemon, I'm just going to make a couple stats.
Then.
But it is interesting that this last Pokemon release did not do very well, and therefore you're seeing overall grading numbers go down. And specifically, was it was TCG that led that decline for the most part?
So this month, both sports and TCG declined, but TCG had been really fueling like all the incremental growth across the hobby in 2023, with the exception of SGC, who's done some stuff with specials on sports cards. But yeah, I mean, mostly it's been TCG / Pokemon. And this was the first time we've really seen a drop off in that after having, you know, I think every month or almost every month of 2023, we've seen growth this far. And so this is the first time we've seen a pretty big drop off.
Especially in May, too. Like, again, I know it's just one product, but Bowman coming out is like, I would think Bowman, if you had to go across the board for individual wax releases that are graded the most, it's one, two, or it's probably one or two. It's either Bowman or Bowman Draft.
When was it that SGC did the special?
Point with your finger.
Was it Topps Chrome that they did the first like $9 special for grading?
That's a good question. They did like Topps Series 2 last year or update?
They did a Bowman Chrome. Last year.
Bowman Chrome. Okay.
Okay. They did draft as well.
Did they not do that this year
they
as well?
They did series one.
They did series year. One. That's what
I think
what
this
it
was their fourth or fifth.
So I think they did series one. I want to say that was in March.
But they did Bowman in May.
Well, and so that's what I mean. It was interesting that in March, it makes me think that maybe series one is the more popular product among collectors.
In no
the,
chance.
The people
to I, grade?
No, dude, I'm telling you, you are in the microcosm of your this world, of the people who listen to the show, which you collect. Yes, Bowman's big around us. But outside of us, there's a much bigger hobby, a lot more people who don't even know who we are. And I don't think they're as into the prospect game as they are into people who are actually playing the game.
But you think
therefore they're going after the series one and therefore taking advantage. And that's why March numbers for SGC were so good versus May numbers not being as good.
So these people don't prospect. They're not into Bowman, but they're into grading. I don't buy
you
it.
How do you not buy that?
I don't believe it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance in the world more top series one cards are being graded than Bowman.
I can give you an answer.
Yeah, I was about to say, maybe someone could help us out here.
You know what, Ryan? Just stay in your lane. I don't even know what you do. I don't know how to say your last name. I don't know what you're doing here. I don't care for that. No, go ahead, Ryan.
I'm here to call bluffs. So with SGC, their top series one promotion graded, they graded like 51,000 cards. 30,000 of those in like their first month. With the Bowman promotion that's out now, they've graded about 16,000 or sort of 15,000 in the first month. So the Topps promotion was about twice as productive as the Bowman promotion thus far. You know, I think the Topps promotion also did get a little bit more press or a little bit more notoriety. So there's probably part of that. But I do think, you know, I mean, there's definitely a good mix. I think Topps might be slightly more popular as it relates to grading, but I mean, Bowman is definitely right there, obviously.
I'm actually shocked by that.
Think about, too, like the kids who actually want to get into this, who are collecting the guys they like. The guys they like are guys who are playing. They don't really know any of those.
But those kids aren't great. Like that, though, I guess was my thought. Kids like that, like little stupid Timmy we always talk about. He's probably not grading his card, though.
I disagree, because my daughter, who knows nothing about any of that. I'm sorry, when you have your child, when little Teddy comes out and you want to ask him about guards and you want to talk about it on the pod, I'm not going to sigh about it. When my daughter, who knows nothing about sports, such I make a positive thing great. And it turns negative.
No,
my daughter knows nothing about sports, but she knows about grading because I graded a couple of her Pokemon cards. Now that's what every time she finds a new Pokemon, she's like, oh, I want to get that graded. Like,
you were right,
just,
by the way.
It's just the next
You're right. The step. Numbers are not lying. I'm shocked that many people are grading Series 1.
Okay.
I believe it. I mean, obviously, the numbers, I am very, very surprised by this.
So
I also hate that Ryan's here, and I hate that you're here. Ryan, I'm a bitter person. I don't know if you listen to the pod. I'm not always that happy, and when he's right, it just makes me miserable.
I'm not right. I'm just, we're all right in our own ways. No, we're but not. Me more so.
We're not right. Okay, go ahead.
All right, Ryan, any other data we want to infer? I know that
you Hang on. Let me follow up on this point. So what do you attribute this to, Ryan? Like, this is, that's a massive percentage to drop in 1 month. Like, what do you attribute that to?
I think honestly, this is the grading environment's very price sensitive right now, you know, and that's kind of one of the things I'm really paying attention to. It's just like, you know, promotions clearly do well. They resonate. People will send cards and it creates some urgency. And I think you saw, you know, the Bowman promotion's done well for SGC, but not quite as well as the Topps promotion.
Yeah, we get it.
PSA backed off a bit. They did a narrower promotion, right? So they only did like the 2022, 2023 promotion for sports cards in April. And that just didn't seem to sort of resonate quite as well, which is why you saw PSA June 1 immediately start to pump their new promotion, which is 1990 plus sports cards for $15, right? So I think the promotional environment definitely has a huge impact there. And I think people are trying to get some cards in and out before the national or before football season. One of the things that we saw in the numbers is that football started to spike up, which I think you do historically see at this time of year. And so we've seen football pick up. Baseball's actually been pretty steady, but basketball's been crushed. And so, you know, the fact that there hasn't really been a great basketball class the last 2 years where people have really gravitated towards one or two particular stars, I think in general, you've just seen a little bit of momentum fall off the basketball wagon there. So I think that's all those things I think have played into it.
The overall sense of the hobby to you, now that you've seen these numbers, what do you think June's going to be? Do you think it's going to be another decline or do you think we bounce back?
I think we bounce back. I think that PSA, even though they sort of push lead times, they're sort of, you know, time to return the cards as a few months, they can move stuff through the system pretty fast. And so I think if you get cards in fast, you get them out fast. So I think you'll start to see some benefit of that from promotion from PSA this month. And in general, I think people like SGC and the rest of the grading companies, which matter very much so, are going to see some benefit of people trying to get cards ready for the national. So, you know, I don't want to put too much weight on that because it's a small portion of the hobby that does end up going to the national, but I think people like to move stuff in advance of that. So I think it'll be up, but I don't think it'll be like a massive move. I think July could be big because that's when you'll start to see a lot of the numbers really start to flow through the system and hit the pop reports. But I think June will be closer to May, but up a little bit. And then we'll see July, maybe a bit of a spike there.
Interesting. Overall, do you think that there is still, do the other grading companies seem to be progressing or falling behind when it comes to PSA? I ask that because I know there are some people who are saying like PSA is king, and we obviously are very pro SGC around here. But at the same time, I view SGC numbers as far as total number of cards graded very good in relation to last year. But this month specifically, they were down 7%. I just wonder, in the grand scheme of what you see, does it look like these other smaller companies in comparison to PSA are still thriving, still doing okay, or at least maybe some of them are?
No, I think they're doing well. I think it's all relative. I think we have this expectation that when the hobby's doing well, that all these companies have the same agenda to sort of grow at the same pace. And I think, you know, SGC has different type of ownership than BGS or Beckett and then PSA, right? PSA is a company that was taken private that wants to go public in probably the not so distant future. And so, you know, they wanna sort of position themselves in like the Fanatics realm of the world, right? Like, we're gonna be really big. Whereas like SGC has a very different ownership structure. They might be profitable. They may not need to push it quite as hard to sort of see good numbers on their end. So I think it's pretty favorable. I think it definitely depends on sort of like what seat you're sitting in, for sure. But I think it's actually really positive. Like, I love what I see happening from a pricing standpoint, because there's not been a lot of innovation in the grading space, but I think that's just like the first step. I think like people want to showcase their cards. They want to be able to do more with them. And I think we're still really early in like the world of like set registries and showcasing and all the things that you can do to make, you know, cards work harder for you in the sense of like you get more value from them. And so I think we're early, and I think the grading companies are still pretty well situated, but I think it's still pretty early in that conversation.
I will say I love data, especially when it comes to the card hobby. And, you know, we love Card Ladder because they use a lot of this information too. The pop reports, total gem rates, things like that. Any other interesting anecdotes before we let you go? Cause this has been great. I think it's valuable information, but also maybe something that we could do again in the future. But, I'd be interested if you had any interesting grading, any grading data that you thought stood out.
You know, no, nothing in particular. I think, you know, one of the things we're really trying to do is sort of just help with like the card ladders of the world show the broader population of a card. You know, things have been too narrowly focused through the lens of like one specific grader. And when you're looking up a card, you shouldn't just see one specific pop report. You should see it across all of them. And so our focus is just helping people understand the broader context, depending on what card you're looking at. You'd see a very different story if you looked at a card from 2015 versus a card from 2021. And that's part of what our data is trying to, you know, to provide. And so, from our standpoint, you know, we're just trying to tell the broader story. And then from a bigger picture standpoint, we want to help people just be more confident in the decisions they make in the hobby. And so I would just keep an eye out for that. But to the degree that we can be helpful, you know, that's definitely one of our goals, to bring more transparency, more accountability to the grading landscape.
Nice. Awesome. Well, you're doing a good job, Ryan. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Aside from him agreeing with you, I liked that part.
That's great.
I didn't care for that part.
Thank you, Mike, for adding that.
I assume I'll never be asked back.
That right, don't you guys. Dare assume that.
See you, Ryan. Thanks, Ryan. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
It's a safe assumption.
No, it's not.
No, I like. Yeah, that's good. You kept it moving. Well done.
Yeah, exactly. He speaks well, too. I wasn't sure because I've never... I
do appreciate a well-spoken person.
I do, too.
Funny you do. Huh. I'm just kidding.
You know what, though? I was talking to my wife about this yesterday.
Hang on. I have to comment you because I'm not going to want to do it if you keep speaking. I cannot believe the Topps numbers. 2-1 over Bowman. I am generally shocked about that. I'm not saying I don't think Top Series 1 is more popular amongst the masses. Mm-hmm. I know that to every one of the points you made, mm-hmm. but amongst grading people, yeah. that shocks me.
I
don't rub it in my face.
I'm not what rubbing it in your face say? Because it was a what theory. I'm just glad
you
backed it up.
Did your wife say? I know you're glad. You're right.
No. I said this to my wife. I said yep. that being in the public eye, like you and I both are, has a lot of positives. It also has some downsides. One of the things that I originally thought was a downside, I think has really helped me, which is people see a lot of your foibles, the little things that you mess up, your mistakes, and they call you out for them, especially if they're things that you do frequently, which for me are the pauses, the uhs, the ums, the long questions that need to be a lot shorter, things like that. Though I hated hearing them, I do think they have helped me overall, not just on the podcast, but in general, speaking on a specific topic. So I do thank you for making fun of me sometimes on those things.
So you're saying you're going to start being better at these things.
I think I have gotten a lot better on these things. The fact that you just said that is kind of upsetting. I've gotten several comments about people.
You have done much better.
I'm not saying that for me. I'm saying other people have made those comments to me. So there you go.
You've made those comments to yourself too, though.
I do think I have gotten better at it. It's something that I'm continuing to work at.
Yeah, two things you've gotten better at. The stuff you just mentioned, like your foibles, what a stupid word you use.
Foibles?
Don't care. And also, you started to care less about the audience because they're not real. They're not here. You just talk like you're in the room. I think you do a good job of that now.
I do. Yeah, I try and focus on you and
reading,
I talking.
And you stop reading reviews, which is helpful.
Oh, I didn't stop reading reviews. I read those all the time. I have actively done my best not to attack people like by going after them.
Although you have tracked some people down.
I have tracked a few people down, but I do nothing with that information. It's just nice to know I had it.
Yet, at least. Say another comment. We'll see how it goes.
New releases the week of June 5th. We have a few things coming out. Stop throwing that in my face. Mike is throwing things on his phone that no one needs to talk about. All right. 2023 Top Series 2 baseball is coming out this week.
All right. Give me pricing because while you do that, I'm going to talk about the checklist for a minute. Obviously, Top Series 2 comes in hobby and jumbo. Mm-hmm. It is actually quietly a very, very good checklist, in my opinion. You've got three big time headline guys. Well, kind of. You got Corbin Carroll. Numbers, please, by the way.
We just I've got both jumbo and I've got hobby.
Oh, give me the pricing.
You want stats.
Give me the pricing, then we'll go player stats real quick.
For a hobby box, $95. for a jumbo
165.
205.
Okay, not bad.
$40 more. Not bad, really. I thought you'd be upset.
That's about accurate. Okay. So you've got big names. Anthony Volpe, obviously, for selling-wise. Volpe, Jordan Walker, even though he sent down, had a real spike. He'll be back up. Oscar Colas, same thing. Big spike, sent down. He'll come back up. Corbin Carroll. I don't know what some of these guys are doing. There's a bunch of B-list guys, too. What is Corbin Carroll doing right now in the league?
Corbin Carroll, average
home runs, RBI. What do we got?
Average is 286.
Okay.
RBIs 25, home runs 10. This is the 2023 regular season.
Yeah, that's actually okay. Jordan Walker, Oscar Colas. You got either of those guys?
Let's see. I've got Oscar Colas. It is no. Nope.
He was sent down. I don't care.
How
about Josh Jung? He's another one of these rookies. Okay. He's kind of a quietly a very good rookie, actually.
What average 294, RBIs 38, home runs 12.
Yeah, Jung's. That's one of those guys. Again, I think some people tend to kind of forget about. And has gone a little bit overlooked.
Okay.
Who else? There's a couple other guys that stood out.
Masataka?
For the Sox. Guy kind of came out of nowhere.
318 average. RBIs 33 and home run 7. Remember the other day when you asked me the average and I told you 0.31?
It's embarrassing for you. I wasn't going to bring it up on camera because it made you look like an idiot.
No, I've corrected myself.
Yeah, so he's in there. Francisco Alvarez, he came up with a ton of hype a couple of years ago. What's his story? The catcher for the Mets.
Batting average is the worst of all of them. 237, but 19 RBIs, 8 home runs.
So not great. Okay. Yeah, my point being, Series 2, like Series 1, Series 2 update, is literally a paper product where you're chasing the big rookies. I think this rookie class is actually pretty good, a lot better than I thought it was going to be. So, yeah, I don't think it's a bad product. It's cheap enough to rip and have fun and go nuts with it. So, why not?
That's cool.
I like it as, by the way, one of the few products I'll say I like it as a rip. I don't like it as a break. I think these are miserable products. A break, I wouldn't go near it.
I know we've talked about this before. Can you clarify again the difference between Series 1 and Series 2, what that is?
Yeah, Series 1 is rookies who are already on rosters when you come up, like Adley and these other guys.
Okay.
Series 2, they just hold some guys over.
That's
an update is just late guys, later additions. They've updated the checklist.
Got it. So are there less in general rookies in this product?
What?
Are there less
that in a way in that general, makes sense to anybody?
Are there less rookies in Series 2 than Series 1?
No, I bet it's about the same. Okay. It's not the amount of rookies, it's the headliners. That's really the a weak rookie class or is it a stud rookie class? This one's pretty good.
Are they also like the guys, I assume there's going to be a number of duplicates, guys who were in the first product, Series 1 and Series 2. Is it the exact same card?
Well, these rookies are not in Series 1.
None of them. There's no duplicates that are in Series 1 and Series 2.
Correct.
But like other, I guess, non-rookies there would be.
Yeah, like what is a vet card? That's a good question, actually. That I don't know because I don't do a ton with this product.
Okay.
So like I'm trying to think of like a vet who's in this, like a big name vet. Let me find one. Everybody stay calm. Jose Abreu.
Okay.
First name I saw.
Yeah, I've heard
Jose
of him.
Abreu was in Series 2. Oh, they ain't gonna find the picture. I don't know. Never mind.
Okay. Well, I am very curious.
I'm not sure. I would assume it's the same vets in just a different picture, maybe.
Whatever. Is Pete Alonso someone to care about? He's currently leading home runs right now.
What's he at, 24?
21 right now.
Yeah, he's a savage.
Aaron Judge, though.
Judge catching up again.
It's very interesting. All right. So that's Series 2. Next product in line. So a lot of these are not going to be our baseball, basketball, football. Though I did want to point out, football, Prism football for 2022 did go up again.
What is it now?
It's now $8.25 a box. It has been steadily increasing. That is very, it's kind of cool to see, actually, especially since I love football. So Panini Select FIFA Soccer. So I'm mentioning this one. I know you and I typically don't have a ton of data. I did go ahead and reach out to our Soccer Cards United guys and just ask them to clarify. They said basically it all depends on the print run, but they did look into it. They said there's 1,000 cases made. So in their opinion, $600 is not a bad price. Could see them go up to 800, especially in breaks. So even though it is a little steep, they do seem to think that it could be valued at that due to the print run this year. All right.
Then, he also said it was, maybe you mentioned this, I tuned out. Mm-hmm. It is the best soccer SKU he felt, right? Or the best league license. Is that what it was?
Yes, he did. I did not mention that, but he did say that. Yes, he did. The next one that came up, again, these are ones that we don't do as often. I'm curious if you even know much about this. This is the 2022-23 Topps Finest Overtime Elite Basketball.
Yeah, so this is like...
Is this high school? I don't even know if it's college. I tried to find
this is
out.
This is the... OTE is like that Overtime Elite League.
Yes.
It's its own league.
It is its own league. It's not high school
these
or anything.
These kids spoke at the Topps convention.
So this is different than G2. This is its own thing. So this may not be something that many guys are after. It's $70 a box, but I guess since it has the Topps Finest name on it, maybe their guys are interested.
And like a bunch of these guys are going to go to the, like, I think a bunch of these guys will be drafted. Yeah, it's a weird, I'll be honest, I don't know enough about it and I don't care about, I've never really followed the cards or chased the cards. So I don't, you know.
Okay. 2023 Donruss UFC also comes out, $150. That comes out this week. Last year's was also $150. So I don't think there's a big price difference. Again, this is one of those, if you're into UFC, which I know a number of listeners are, this may be something that you're chasing, but we don't have enough data to give you much more than that. But I at least figured we'd throw out the information.
It's one of the cheaper SKUs too. You can get it for cheap at least, you know, if you want to mess with it. So
the one thing that I was going to mention about Pokemon was just the fact, like I said with Ryan, is that that last release, this new Scarlet and Violet series, did not do as well. There's a new set that comes out in that series. They're calling it Paldea Evolved. Comes out this week, $115 right now for a booster box. I'm very curious if this one does much better. It doesn't seem to have, it does have like Pikachu in it, but it doesn't have like a lot of the bigger names that a lot of guys are looking for, like some of the series coming up will have. So I think this also may affect grading numbers since TCG grading is so big, but time will tell. This is at least doing better than what the last release did at this point. That is your release week. We can go on to mailbag, and we don't even have a ton of mailbag because I think everybody hit up the post that you made this morning. By
the way, big announcement. We should have led the show with this.
How? Oh, my God.
We will be live on location at our local card shop on Friday.
Yes, kid night.
6 to 8. Children. 6 to 9. 6 to 8.
Does it sound weird if you say children's night versus kids night?
You have a child, and I'm expecting. I'm with child. Okay. So
yeah, with child.
No, I guess it's fine. We're doing, me, you, Tim from Slabstrong, going over to Shep's Cards, Hendersonville, Tennessee.
37075.
You've heard of it. He's got an awesome LCS here in Hendersonville.
Yeah.
We're doing a kids' night.
Pizzas, cards.
Yeah, we're going to do some free food, some free packs, some free cards. We'll probably do some free grading. I know Clint from Zion doing some free cases for the kids.
That's
he's
awesome.
Child size, so that actually works. it's going to be an awesome night for like the kids to collect. We're going to try to do this as like a monthly, bi-monthly...
Cool.
Tri-monthly, I don't know, something like that, but a regular thing to like kind of get a little bit more involved in the community. And hopefully, I mean, honestly, we're just doing it to get more listeners to the podcast. Contract year.
Little kids, especially, we want listening to
really?
The show.
Yeah. We're really chasing the little kids. Is that what you, is that how you say it?
Little kid lover. did you notice, by
Mike
the way,
Scott.
There is another card shop, I think, opening up just where? A few, not even a mile from Shep's where we're going to be. It's over there by that old,
what?
You remember where Nouveau Donut is? Like, or now it's called like Best Donut or something. Like two on the other side of the Chinese restaurant over there. There's like it doesn't even have a name up there, but in the window, it's got buy, sell, trade. It's got Pokemon. And like, it says something about comics and stuff too. So I haven't actually been up close and personal to see, but we definitely need to check that out.
Might be hiring dad for that job.
If you live in the Middle Tennessee area, though, maybe this Friday,
maybe it won't be there.
Come
on
out to Shep's Cards.
Interesting. Why?
Well, I mean,
I don't care for this news.
I don't know. Maybe we go over there and it's just so amazing. I kind of doubt that, but we'll see. Mailbag is pretty skimpy.
I got family in town for the last day, so it's okay. We wanted a short show.
What are you guys' thoughts on Nash Cards dropping SGC and BGS from their services?
Yeah, this was interesting. Chris was live on his, we had a little bit of a falling out. I think we're fine. I don't know. I haven't really talked to him much. I don't know. I think it's weird. I don't know why, as a card shop, you wouldn't just offer it.
I have a theory, but I don't know if you want me to voice that theory.
Wait a minute. Voice of caution to the wind over there. I ever told you not to? I don't care what you say.
I think it's a money thing. I think that I think that PSA made an offer that he couldn't refuse if he went solo. Like, if he went exclusive. That's the only thing I can think of.
Because it is interesting to me. Here's the other thing I don't, and again, I'm not taking a shot at Chris for this, but it's tough for me when you promote something so long and so heavily. Like, that'd be like if we tomorrow were like, you know what? We're PSA sponsors now.
Yeah.
Like, we've promoted and pumped SGC as hard as we have because A, I use them and I grade at least 1,000 cards a month at this point. And I think they're great at what they do.
Yeah.
And B, they pay us. That is the B portion, though. We use the service. We like it. I encourage others to use it because I've always been very pleased with what I've had there and the service I've gotten.
Strict graders.
So it would be very weird for me to then all of a sudden, like, I would have to really be sold on something else to say, you know what, guys, take away the money too. Like, hey, I don't want your check anymore, but I'm also just moving somewhere else. It would take a lot for that to happen, right? I have to really be sold on a service. Mm-hmm. It's weird for me that Nash was the biggest in the country for SGC, by the way.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was that close.
Well, so you say that, and I thought that too, but he made a comment under that post because someone else said that, and he alluded to he was. So I think... No. I'm thinking that there's someone else that... The way he worded it made it sound like there was someone else
who is a bigger subber than
he is.
I have not ever heard that from the SGC side, but maybe that's the case.
I don't know either. I'm going to talk to him this week about it, though.
Of SGC?
Yeah, because I figured, like, well, if they're no longer there, we need to have somebody to send their cards to.
I know, we've started with this idea of being a big SGC bulk subber.
Yeah.
Here's what we need. Somebody who has enough money to sustain themselves for a while, move to Middle Tennessee.
There you go. Do that.
And just be our little Jack Bauer. Not even little Jack Bauer.
Like, where they kill people?
I have family for that. Jack of all trades.
That's
make a bunch of money.
Yes.
With helping out with podcasts, little stuff here and there.
Social
media
basement.
Stuff. You can live in Jesse's basement for free.
Yeah.
There's a ping pong table down there. It smells weird.
Basement smell.
Yeah, it's not great. You could be our card grading bulk guy and get paid per card. Do a few thousand of those a month. You make a few $1,000 a month. I do think there's a weird opportunity. I'm not saying we're going to do that, but we have flirted with the idea. But that was my take. Like, I don't know how you pump a company like that so hard. And then all of a sudden, oh, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's kind of whatever.
It is what it is. Let's go to this question. I haven't read all the way through. It's brand new. So you forgive me. We might have to cut it. Brandon Steck, which is he's usually a good enough
Steck,
guy.
My boy.
Thoughts on how the promo grading SGC has been offering on Bowman and Topps will affect long-term pricing of those sets. Will SGC gain or lose value because there are more base and commons graded cheaply?
See, I actually think this is a positive. I think it puts more relevant cards, brand new relevant hot cards in SGC holders, which brings more brand awareness. So I think overall it's a good thing because there's also not this initial rush of like, hey, it's now 10, 20X what it should be.
Mm-hmm.
The market has learned. We've learned like, hey, base cards are not ever going to be X amount of dollars.
Yep.
So I think this is a genius move by them. And the fact that they keep working with Fanatics, I like.
I do too. And the fact that, well, we can't talk about some things, but there is another thing I noticed when I was going over the Pop Report information was that as Ryan mentioned, TCG is one of the biggest graded items that goes through all these grading shops. And SGC has the lowest market share, it looks like, as of right now. And I think they know that.
They just started
pushing TCG. And with that being said, I think that means there's the most room for growth and, of course, hopefully increased values to go along with that. But I do think, too, that if SGC really gets in on the TCG side
of
things.
Too many acronyms, bro.
I know. There's too many C's and things. I do think that that also helps because you're getting it back faster than anybody else out there. As far as like getting those cards graded and sent back out into the real world, I think we just have to see more of that happen for people to actually want to buy them. So,
you know what? We're talking all SGC all this time too. Here's a little giveaway for you. Post your favorite SGC card you have on social media and tag us. What's our stupid handle on Instagram?
Sports Cards Nonsense.
Aren't there like slashes or something dumb?
They'll find it, but sports underscore cards underscore nonsense.
You post a picture of your favorite SGC card that you own and tag us, and I'll give away 10 grades to the person of my choosing.
Oh,
there you go. Boom, roasted.
You little slippery.
You have to hand deliver the cards to me. I don't care where you live. You have to walk here.
Fly.
No easy way
that
out.
That is my bad.
But yeah, just tag us on social, tag them on social, and post a picture.
Giveaway time. I like that.
Why not?
That's it. That's the show.
What are we doing Thursday? We have a guest or no?
So we have a potential guest. I'm trying to get a hold of them. I think we'll have one.
Who is them? Is it a single person?
It's a single person, but I don't want to mention it. They're not going to come on.
Okay. So maybe a guest on Thursday.
Yes. Yeah. But either way.
Do I know who it is? Is it a secret?
It's not a secret. I mean, I can tell you, but
is it a surprise?
It's not really, I don't know if you'd care or not. I'm trying to get Pac-Man on.
Who?
That's, there you go.
A
that's,
little yellow round head that eats stuff?
Yes, the character.
Atari?
He has a wife, Miss Pac-Man. She's lovely. You'll like it. It'll be good.
I know who Pac-Man.
You do know. He has like the largest group out there.
The YouTube
there.
Guy. He breaks
there
packs.
It is. Yep.
Oh, yeah. He was just involved. He wasn't involved. He ripped a box of Bowman Chrome U and pulled the Wemby base card. And some there were videos circulating like that was a planted box because he had like the hot pack. Oh, I do want to look and see what those are. I got to see what these are selling for, which I thought was.
Have you seen these Wemby too, like where they're like one's faded or
his was faded
or something? What is it? Was that on purpose, you think? I started wondering if that was just like an accident and like people are making it into a thing.
I don't know, but it is insane to me how much money those cards are selling for, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
The base card sold today, $480, $425, $650. Just to be clear, people telling me this is an SSP. Look at the amount of sales and the amount listed on eBay. I don't know where people got this notion, unless they said it was and I just missed it.
Yeah.
It says extended base. It's card number 101. I don't buy that. Like, there are so many of these cards out there. That's going to be the worst Wemby card to own. This card is $500 as of even today. It sold for $500, $500, $530. I'm going to say in 1 month, Carlos, make a note. Do you have a note taker machine?
It's called a pen. He has a pen and paper.
Because I was sure. Right about this. Hear the enthusiasm.
He definitely does not.
Carlos, on July 1st, Wemby base card, $100.
You're saying that's what it's going to be.
$50.
That's a Saturday.
I don't care what day of the week it is, sweet cheeks. Oh, yeah. So what is it? So July 3rd is a Monday?
July 3rd is a Monday, but Carlos, we'll probably be off because it's a holiday.
What is July 3rd a holiday
July
for?
July 4th is the holiday. But
so you took off the Monday and the Tuesday?
No, I would. Well, oh, I guess maybe.
God. What well, is now happening?
Maybe the Ringer does just do it on Tuesday.
Carlos, then. Are we going to have a show? Are we going to have a show Monday, July 3rd, do you think?
I would assume we just have the one day off, okay. But I'm not 100% sure.
You know what? I think what we do is either way, July 1st. That's what you said. We'll check the pricing.
Nope. Why? July 6th is that Thursday. Okay. Unless we're taking the whole week off so people can light fireworks. Go blow your hand up somewhere else. Like, what do you just leave the fireworks alone for a couple days? July 6th. This card, $50 or less.
What? You just said 100. Now it's down to 50?
I'm being more dramatic. I'm making a point.
Because on the first, it would have been 100. But now on the 6th, it's down to 50. I don't think you're right at all. I think that's way too short of a time frame. Especially
okay, what do you think what do you think it goes for July 6th?
$310.
Are you willing to bet your year's salary on this?
No, I'm not. Why would I be willing to do that?
You know what? I write the checks, and I'm willing to take that bet for you.
Thank you. There I you appreciate go. That.
All right. Sports Cards Nonsense brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. We'll be back on Thursday with maybe a guest, and maybe we won't be, and maybe we will be, and whatever. So see you Thursday. Goodbye.